Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify you, God. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I've entitled this afternoon's message, "The Lord God is Faithful." Say that with me. The Lord God is faithful. And as we just blessed our brother just moments right now ago, God stirred up this message within me during the week. I shared with our sister that if he changes it, then it'll be a different message, but he didn't change it. So I'm sticking with it. Amen? And we have to understand the faithfulness of God in our lives and the promises of God. God promises us things in the Word of God. He has promised things to you personally, and you have to take it to the bank. Can I get amen? You got to believe that God spoke to you. He will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 19 through 26. And it reads, "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Say that with me. His compassions fail not. Has God been good to you?
Yes.
Has He been good to you?
Yes.
Amen. Even when we are not good to ourselves or good to others, He's still good to us. Amen. Look at verse 23 right up here. "They are new every morning. His mercies, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in" who? "In Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him," who wait upon the Lord, "to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." You've heard it said that there are times when we call upon the name of the Lord, and yet He doesn't just show up right then and there. But God is faithful to still show up. He will show up. He may not come when you call Him, but He will come. And He will bail us out. He will help us, especially when we're afflicted. When God predicts that He will cause a son to be born to a husband and a wife who are merely 100 years old, more than just His power is in question. And who am I referring to? Abraham and Sarah. Just imagine, God said, "Through your lineage, the Messiah will come through you." Wow. You've been teaching that, brother, in Exodus, in Genesis. His credibility is likewise at stake. And the question would arise, is He reliable? Is God trustworthy? Can we expect Him to do what He says He will do? When that promise was made to Abraham, what did Abraham do? What did he do? Well, let's go to the Word right up here. Look at this. In Genesis 17, 15. And it reads, then God said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall what? Not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. And she shall what? It shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Wait a minute. She's about 100 years old. Just think about that for a moment. How many people do you know that live close to 100? You know those childbearing days are over. Long gone. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But how could this be? Look at this. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. What? Look at verse 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. I think I would do more than laugh. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Come on, we would all be in that same situation, huh? We would question God here at this moment. And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So he's telling God this. I need to ask this question. What has God promised you and you have questioned him? Just because your son and daughter are not saved yet, or your grandchildren ain't saved yet, he still promises that he will do it. Can I get amen? You got to remember, it won't be in your time. It'll be in his time. But you got to believe God. You got to believe God. Are you seeking him? Are you fasting? Are you praying? My, my, my. You see, Abraham had not yet fully come to believe that God's word could even be trusted. He hadn't come to that place yet. And many of us struggle in that area. The two things that come to mind is doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. That's devil doubt talk. That's what that is. When you put a but, if, in front of the promises of God, you're telling God he's not capable. My, my, my. And so when she heard the same promise, what does she do? What did Sarah do when she heard the same promise? Did she say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done? She didn't say that, did she? Look, it's right up here. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, long gone. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, you know, it was one of these, yeah, right. You ever said that? Yeah, right. That's how it was. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old? Come on, she couldn't comprehend this. And many of us find ourselves in similar predicaments even today. When you look at your finances, when you look at your relationships, when you look at children, grandchildren, some of them may be drug infested, wayward. Could you still believe that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for? Or do we throw in the towel? Look at this, verse 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, surely I shall bear a child since I am old. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Ask this question. Turn to your neighbor and say, is anything too hard for the Lord? Don't forget to tell the one on the other side too. Look at this. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You see, it wasn't their time. It was God's time. It was God's appointed time. And God has already an appointed time for your promises. You just got to believe that He's going to promise what He said He would do. But we try to figure it out. Is it today, Lord? Is this a sign here, Lord? No. You got to just have that great expectation of Him. Every day we wake up, God, I'm going to believe your promises. I'm going to believe what you spoke in my life. And I'm going to continue to love you with my whole heart, soul, and mind. Saints, her faith had not grown beyond the example, what she had observed in her husband. The narrative in Genesis does not record specifically when it happened. But at some point, saints of God, in their walk with God, both of them, Abraham and Sarah, became convinced that God would do what He promised. And He did it, didn't He? See, Paul, the apostle, reminds us in the book of Romans, he had to wait because even in his day and time, there were still doubters, people that doubted God. Guess what? That hasn't changed in 2024. Can I get amen? As long as we live in this body of flesh, we're always going to have that small little smidgen of doubt and unbelief. But look what Paul wrote to the Roman church right up here. Look at this. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, referring to Abraham, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened, here's the key, in faith, giving glory to God. This is what we need to have today, is to be strengthened in faith and to believe everything that God has promised us. Because He's going to do it. 3 weeks ago, I think it was 3 weeks ago, my grandson leading worship with Pastor Andre here and Deacon and Pastor Art and my granddaughter. That was a promise to me. Not only would He save my children, He would save my grandchildren. And they were here worshiping the King. At that age, there's a lot of wayward kids that are out there. You know what they're doing. I had a conversation with my granddaughter, Ella, when they were staying with us. Man, she knows her word. We were having a theological debate. And yet, she was proving every point according to the Word. I mean, she's only 17. And she knows her Word. I was like, okay. Inside of me, I was saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. She loves you. And she's hungry for you. You see, saints, the writer to the Hebrews, which I believe was Paul the Apostle, many theologians believe it was someone else, but I believe Hebrews was written by Paul, tells us the story from Sarah's perspective. Look right up here. Oh, well, first of all, let's finish verse 21 in Romans. And being fully convinced that what he what? That he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see, when you have the faith to believe, it'll be accounted to you as righteousness. Whoo, my goodness. My goodness. You see, God wants you to believe everything He has said. There is no, God cannot lie. Can I get an amen? He's yes and amen. He's truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, God. But then we look in Hebrews. Whoever wrote Hebrews, I believe it was Paul. But look at this. In Hebrews 11:11. By faith, there it is. It's by faith. If you're going to catch anything out of this message, is you have to have the faith to believe. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive. Look at that seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You have to believe God. You have to believe God that what He had promised you, He cannot fail. How many of you, during the course of your life, and you don't have to show a hands, I'm not going to put you on blast, but how many of us, at times, we failed God by not trusting and believing Him? I've been there, done that. And God will have to, what? Take me back again and relive it so that I would trust Him and believe Him. Nobody wants a repeat story. So learn to trust Him and believe Him the first time. Can I get amen? Or you will relive it until you get it right with Him. My. Saying Sarah not only believed that God would give her a son, but also that He would, because He is a faithful God. She came to a place where He became faithful to her and Abraham. His word is reliable and His promises are trustworthy. Can we say that today of ourselves to God? You're worthy. You're trustworthy. I believe everything that you have spoken, you will bring to fruition. The faith of Abraham and Sarah was not misplaced whatsoever. Look what we see in Genesis right up here in 21, 1 through 3. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. I need you to catch that word, because that could go right over your head. Set time. It wasn't their time. It was God's time. He has a set time for your promises. Can I get amen? And He will bring them to pass. How many of you right now can honestly say, I know God has spoken to me and He has promised me certain things, but yet they have not yet come to pass? I want to put two hands up here. Let me just say this. He will bring them to pass at the set time. His time. Not our time. His time. And you'll know, because it'll be like without, it'll come without worry, stress, anxiety. It'll come joyfully. It'll come with peace, because God is what? The Prince of Peace. He doesn't put stress on you. He don't put worry on you. He wants to bring you out from that and give you a blessing. How many believe that God is truly a blessing in our lives? So at the set time of which God had spoken to him, and Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, was what? Isaac. So it happens just exactly as God said it would. And He said it at the set time. That lets us know God is faithful. He's trustworthy. And so we need to take a closer look at four biblical principles of God's faithfulness. Number one, the explanation of God's faithfulness. I'm going to go through the scriptures here to show us that He's faithful. That you can depend on God. You don't have to doubt Him. If there's anyone that will try to bring something different to you, it's not God, but old Slewfoot. You know who Slewfoot is, right? The one that speaks in your ear too. Because the battle is in the mind. The Old Testament word for faithfulness is related to the word, it's called truth. They both come from the same root, which means firmness or stability. Faithfulness, saints of God, actually grows out of truth. What is true must also be trustworthy. Even a pagan soothsayer named Balaam, remember Balaam? Had to admit that God, who tells the truth, will also keep His word. When the enemy is saying, man, He's true, you better take heed. Look what He said to the king of Moab. Look at in Numbers right up here. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should what? Lie. Nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? Let me ask you this. Since God has come into your life, has He enhanced your life? I got saved at the age of 30, 65 now. I don't regret one second. I can't go back and say, oh man, I missed that and I missed this. Uh-uh. Knowing that He saved me from going to hell. That's right. He saved me from tossing me into the lake of fire. I like to say it like this. He came to save my bacon. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church right up here. Look at this. Certainly not indeed. Let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Wow. God will never tell a lie. God will always be true to us. Look what Isaiah wrote right up here. Oh Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name, for You have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and what? Truth. Number two, look at this. Great is God's faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. When John was on the island of Patmos, he wrote the book of Revelation. And in 3:14, he wrote this. Look at this. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Faithful. God is faithful. Look what it says in verse 19. Or chapter 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He who sat on it was called what? Faithful and true, and in righteousness He judges and makes war. Wow. You know, He's coming back to judge. I hope you know that. Yes, He is. He's going to have to deal with the wicked. The ones that won't repent. Aren't you so blessed that we're on the other side of that? Thank you, that God saved us? Look at this in chapter 21. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." So guess what? He's creating a brand new body for you. He's creating a brand new body for me. He's creating a whole brand new world for us. Can I get an amen? You have to believe that he's faithful and true to do these things. This is why we have the Old Testament to see what he has done. And then we see what he's doing. And now we get to see what he's about to do. How many can't wait to see what he's about to do? Presently, he has saved us from this untoward generation. He has delivered you and I. Many of us, many of us were bound up, tore up from the floor up. Oh, come on. Many of us bound in drugs and alcohol, pornography, many addictions. And if you didn't go there, your heart was full still of slander. And this, we call it chisme. Oh, yeah. You may not have done those things. You know what that lets us know? We need Jesus.
That's right.
We need a Jesus. Can I get amen?
Amen.
The self-righteous need Jesus. The down and out needs Jesus. The outcast need Jesus. The drug addicts need Jesus. The what they call now? There's a word. No, for the homeless. They call them unsheltered now. We want to give a politer word. Unsheltered. They need Jesus. Yes. He's faithful. God is faithful. Look what else he said right up here in chapter 22, verse 6. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." Meaning you could take it to the bank. "And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." God is coming soon. He's coming soon. Don't you feel that God's coming soon now? No other time in my walk with God have I ever felt this. That he's coming soon. And to get your house in order.
Yes.
God is saying, get your house in order. Get it in order. If there's junk there, get it out. If there's junk in your life, get it out. If there's sin in your heart, get it out. Because God will forgive anything. But you got to get it out.
Yeah.
Give it to him. "Here, God, I've been battling with this. Strengthen me now. Help me, God." And guess what? He will. Because God is true and faithful to do those things for us. Can I get amen? All of God's attributes operate in conjunction, never in isolation. If anything about him is true, then he has no alternative but to be faithful. Faithful. Some people fall. Listen to me clearly. There are people that fail to keep their word because they lose interest. Like marriages walk out. Irreconcilable differences. Your boss on the job fires you for no reason. Maybe they saw something they didn't like and they let you go. There are going to be things that are not fair in life. Can I get amen? But let me just say this. God is faithful. God will restore all things. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. He will restore and you know what? He'll bring something better. Can I get amen? Even if you get laid off from a job, he's got something better. Oh, yes, he does. The industry I'm in has totally collapsed. Totally. The real estate industry, it totally collapsed. I know at least 15 agents that are no longer in real estate. I know loan officers that have taken other occupations now. And if you drive around and you do see a sign that's for sale, they're moving out of state. They're moving out of state. They're the ones that are selling their homes that are moving out of state. Question. Who can pay for $1 million home with the interest rates at 8% and only putting 10% down? You're looking at a $7,500 a month payment. Who can pay that? It's collapsed. And so I said, God, you must have something better for me. And he does. I just got to wait on him. I got to wait on the Lord. He's got something for me. You know why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. You praying for a job? That phone's going to ring soon. Yes, it will. Some of you that applied here and there, that phone's going to ring soon. And God's going to show you his faithfulness. Can I get amen? Amen. Oh, come on. That's right. Just remember this, especially of those of you, I heard it best said, you know, if you're looking for a job and you got all the faith to believe, which is great. You believe in God. But there are some folks, they're just praying and praying and praying. Oh God, make this phone ring. Oh God. And yet, they haven't even submitted their application. God is saying, do the practical thing, then he'll do the supernatural thing. Can I get amen? Just do your part. Oh, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to submit. And I'm going to wait now on the Lord. Can I get amen? We all think the phone's going to ring by osmosis. Why do you suppose God just gave me this right now? The 5,000 that God fed on the hill. He used something that was already there. What was it? A little basket of fish and bread from the little child. He says, I need that. And then he multiplied it. Can I get amen? That's what he does. You do the practical, he does the supernatural. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. God never... Did you know that Scripture exalts him? Scripture exalts the Lord. Look right up here. In Psalms 89:8. Look at this. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also what? Surrounds you. Look at King David wrote in Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. The generation that we live in right now, he's faithful. Can I get amen? Listen, we all know that there's wars and rumors of wars. We see war about ready to bust out in the Middle East. We see things are going to escalate. We see enemies already mounting against us. But I'm here to let you know, God has our best interest in mind. Can I get amen? He's our shield and buckler. You got to believe that he will protect us. Amen? Oh, that's right. He will. Let's look at this. The extent of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness is part of his essence. It affects everything he says and everything he does. Several specific applications of his faithfulness were written in the New Testament. He is faithful in assuring our salvation. You see, we all know the day we got saved, amen? My question is this: do you believe God all the way to the end? Or did he just save you for a moment? Huh? All the way. All the way. And we got the scriptures to back that up. Whenever you doubt your salvation, go back to the Word. Because look at what it says right up here in 1 Corinthians. So that you come short of no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm to you to the end. Are you catching that? He's going to confirm it all the way to the end of time, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever ask yourself, man, I woke up, man, and I had these ungodly thoughts. Oh, God. Oh, man, I was just thinking covetously. I wish I had that, and I wish I had that. How do we stand before God blameless, even with those thoughts in mind? I need you to catch this. Look at this. He will confirm to you the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So let me just say, it's not by righteousness that we have done, but it was by his grace. It was by his mercy. And it was by the blood. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. So when God the Father looks down, he don't see what you just thought. He don't see the sin that's still somewhat attached or you dabble with. Guess what? He'll chastise you for that. But guess what he sees? He sees the blood that his Son washed away our sins. And now we are eternally secure with him. Can I get an amen? And let me just say that. It doesn't give us a license to sin. We sin before him, he'll chastise us. Can I get an amen? How many of you have been chastised by God? Oh, I've been to the whooping shed. Don't like it there. But he will confirm it to the end. Because God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Can I get an amen? Say that with me. God cannot lie. He will be with us all the way and confirm us to the end. Paul's confident that the Lord will make us steadfast and preserve us from falling away. Just imagine, we're still here. And there's a lot of wonderful churches in our nation where you still have groups of people that are still coming to church. But how many do you know now that have fallen away? In 17 years, we have seen some people that we know that are no longer serving the Lord. They've fallen away. Fallen away. Is God able to bring them back? Yes. But Jesus said in the last days, there will be an apostasy. And we're seeing it now. People falling away. Right up to the moment they enter into his presence, God will keep us. Can I get amen? If he promised eternal life to those who receive his Son, then he will deliver what he promised, and he will never allow them to perish. How many so blessed know that we will never perish? Listen, never believe the lie of the enemy. Even when you sin, just repent of it and move on. Don't wallow in it. Can I get amen? Bible says, confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But look what it says in 1 Thessalonians right up here. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you what? Completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is what? Faithful. Who also will do it. It's him that's going to keep us. It's him that's going to keep us blameless. Can I get amen? And that's by the blood. Look at verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Man. See, when you start learning the scriptures, you will be confident in your walk. Because we know we're sinful. No one has to tell me I'm sinful. No one has to tell you you're sinful. God already knows that. But what we need to be reassured almost on a daily basis that God is faithful to keep us. Even in those failing moments that we sometimes have, he's faithful. Look what he wrote to the Roman church right up here. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, these also he glorified. Now, just to break this down just real quickly, what does he mean by justified? When you come into the saving knowledge and become born again, the blood of Jesus comes upon you now, and now he looks upon you just as if you've never sinned. You're justified. What? And then he says, he has glorified you. This is something we cannot see with our natural eye. But he sees the future in our glorified body. He sees us in the future, the new body that he has promised us. We'll be glorified and we will be like him. The Bible says when we see him face to face, we will be like him. How many can't wait for that day? Because this body we got now is failing us. For some of us, it's falling apart. For some of us, we're trying to keep it as pampered as possible. But it's failing us. So saints, God is faithful in providing for our victory. God wants us to enjoy victory over sin and triumph over trials. But he has not left us on our own to achieve it. He offers us all the help we need. Can I get it? Aren't you so blessed that we're not in it by ourselves? We're in this race and he's in it with us to see us through. Can I get amen? I don't know if you guys watched the Olympics the last few weeks. All those that won gold. Guess who was there that we did not see? And they were always there. They're trainers. Valuable. Train with them every day. We just didn't see them. But they needed those trainers. Well, that's our walk in this life. God is with us. He's our trainer. Can I get amen? We can't see him, but we know he's there. We can feel his presence in us. We know he's there. And even if you don't feel his presence, we have his word that he is there. Look what Paul wrote here. Are you getting something out of this message? Hallelujah. This is a teachable moment right now for all of us. I like to go there at times just to teach the word so we are assured of his promises. And I'm reminded of his promises. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 10:12. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape. What? Oh, that's right. He'll open a door wide open. Run through this door. Run from that temptation, that you may be able to bear it. The word temptation may refer either to a trial from God who seeks to purify and strengthen us, or a solicitation to sin from Satan who seeks to destroy us. Did you catch that? In that last part, Satan hates us. Satan hates us. With a hate that's beyond our comprehension. He despises God who created us. In either case, saints of God, God promises to protect us from more than we can bear and to provide with every temptation or testing a way of escape. Why? Because faithfulness guarantees it. His faithfulness guarantees it. Oh, that's right. We just read this. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Who's the evil one? So God is faithful, what? To establish you and guard you from the evil one. This is why we have God. This is why we can run to Him. This is why He's a strong tower. And all that run are safe. That run to Him. Can I get amen? And we're going to close with this last point. The encouragement of God's faithfulness. God will not only be faithful in assuring our salvation, providing for our victory, forgiving our sins, and sustaining us through suffering, but He will also be faithful in keeping every promise, as I mentioned, that He has ever made to us. If anything, He's going to fulfill that promise. Can I get amen? Because we find it in the Word. Right up here. In Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is what? So why are you wavering? Why are you doubting? Why do you say, man, maybe God forgot about me? No, He hasn't. Just hold on. Hold on. Don't let go of Him. Don't let go of Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. That is the greatest encouragement that you and I can possibly have. That He will keep us all the way to the end. The Bible contains thousands of precious promises from God. At least one of them will have application to every conceivable situation in your life. No matter what transpires, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that we could ever face, He's already seen it before. Can I get amen? He has seen it before. Nothing surprises God. I hope you know that. He's not up there to go, oh my God, no. He's right there to see us through. And so, saints, you and I in life, and by the way, you too, your day is coming. What, in 2 weeks? Amen. Amen. I'm hoping that this word that's spoken, that you guys will embrace it. Because every marriage, especially a new marriage, is going to be challenged to the till. And don't let the enemy lie. Can I get an amen? The enemy will try to lie and say, did you do the right thing? You have to rebuke that. The Bible tells me what God puts together, let not man put asunder. God is faithful to see your marriages through. God is faithful to keep you. God is faithful to provide for you. God is faithful to strengthen you. God is faithful to bring peace in your home and remove the strife. Can I get amen? He's able to bring joy unspeakable and full of glory. Learn to make your house a house of praise and worship. Sing unto Him. Sing a new song unto Him every day. Thank Him for what He has done. Thank Him, hallelujah, for the spouse that He brought into your life. And what has lacked, He will fill the rest of it in. Can I get amen? Learn to love each other unconditionally. Because the Bible says love will cover a multitude of sins. He's faithful. We can possibly encounter financial reversal, terminal illness, the loss of a loved one, family tensions, or anything else. But a faithful God can be trusted to keep every promise. Can I get amen? Every promise. Look at this right up here. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him it what? Amen. All the promises. Thank you, God. To the glory of God through us. Now He, look at this. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a what? Guarantee. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And I'm going to close in 2 Timothy. Because many promises in the Word are absolute. And God will see us through. How many believe that God will see you through? You know, all He's asking is do your best to keep your hearts pure to Him. Refrain from things that don't please Him. And let me just say this. You will have 24/7 favor of the Lord when you please Him in His sight. Because you know what that does? It doesn't earn any points with Him. No. You know what that does? It shows Him that you love Him. That you honor Him. That you believe every word for you. And we close with this in 2 Timothy 2:11 through 16. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, and He cannot deny Himself. Look at verse 14 right up here. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Saints, our brother that has left we pray the faithfulness that he demonstrated here with us, he will continue to demonstrate it over there in Virginia Beach. And for us that are here, I truly believe God has a mighty blessing in store for us. A mighty blessing. Because he has promised us many wonderful things. And I really believe that the best is yet to come. Your marriages, the best is yet to come. The fruit that will be birthed out of your young marriages, the best is yet to come. Those administering, the best is yet to come. Those who love to pray and seek God's face and serve, the best is yet to come. And when Jesus comes, it'll be the best, the very best. And it would have come when he comes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. And I'm praying for those right now who are watching that maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to pray that you would give your heart now to God. Those who are viewing this streaming sermon. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too may be able to enter into this covenant with God. And it's by his blood we are washed. And so pray this simple prayer and ask God to radically save you by faith. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.